from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
A continuation of our last conversation that we were talking about etiquette and calling people before texting people before you call them. And then I brought up the topic of how these kids and these young kids don't text their parents back or call their parents back when we reach out to them. There's one hack that I actually got from Jackson Smith and Jigba's dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it is crazy because it's the opposite. If someone FaceTimes you, are you less likely to answer? Because I am. I don't want to answer FaceTimes.
It depends on who it is. I only have relatives who do FaceTime, right. And that's it.
Well, his hack, Modest hack, was these young kids will more likely to answer FaceTime calls.
Oh, really?
That's what he said. And I've been kind of doing it a little bit. And it kind of been working.
I thought the strategy was just to threaten.
I'm going to shut off your phone if you don't answer my text.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you never do.
My Netflix account is going to be dead to you if you don't answer right now. Okay, I've never had to use that.
All right. What do you got, Ursula? Let's get to it.
What's new at 10?
Okay, so we mentioned last hour that Target is shutting down two of its Seattle stores. It has nearly 2,000 stores in the U.S. They're going to close down 9. And they actually said it is because of organized retail theft and violence against their employees. Before we get into this next thing, I want to say, to make it very clear, because we talked about it yesterday. Gee, you were gone. But we talked about retail theft being a huge thing. I tell you about how often I go into Rite Aid or Fred Meyer. It is a big thing. And there's a myriad of reasons that go behind it. I don't want anyone to get the impression that we don't think it is a big thing. We think it is a big thing. Okay. I say that, though, because with that announcement, and all the crime in Seattle stories that come up, it's something that Fox News likes to maybe hyper-focus on.
Yeah.
So if it's especially a slow news day, Fox will roll out. Maybe they'll have drones footage of migrants on the U.S.-Mexico border, or they'll have a stand-up shot with a reporter in Seattle or San Francisco standing in front of a bunch of tents. As it turned out, though, there is audio going around or video going around about what happened when so it was a judge.
Jeanine Pirro.
And she was talking with a Fox reporter who had talked to Seattle residents about crime. And this is what the people they interviewed said, at least the compilation they put together.
Jesse sent Johnny to the progressive hellscape where residents mocked the idea that the city is spiraling out of control.
I've never seen any crime in Seattle. I've never seen any of it. I've seen fun and laughter and laughter and fun.
I don't believe that number.
People, they're, getting robbed out here, carjacked.
I've never heard of anyone getting robbed.
Crime is a social issue that could be solved by giving people their basic needs.
It's not a thing that happens just on the street. People don't just come up and try to rob people on the street. Do you walk around every day? Like, someone's going to rob me every second?
Seattle decriminalized drug use, and then they criminalized it again.
Oh, my God. Who are you getting these facts from? You're from New York. Apparently, you're listening to the wrong people.
I saw a lot of people shooting up on my way down here.
Oh, did you? Okay. And they were bothering you?
I was in a car, but, people...
Oh, no, you're in a car! Oh, no,
okay,
they
wait.
Hitting you so bad! Oh, no!
So you can look at it two ways. Did Fox News troll us and try to put together a compilation of the people who were playing it down to try to make a point? Or did these people all try to make a point to Fox News and just say, we don't see it? Okay, to say we don't see it is ridiculous, but that was a funny compilation of audio and an example of how you can skew anything the way
it was even selective, very clearly selectively edited,
yes.
With strictly poll quotes. And even with their selectively edited poll quotes, the main takeaway I got is people in Seattle don't want to be dunked on by Fox News. And, sorry, not having it.
And it made me think of this, and tell me if this rings true for you. Okay, and I'll put myself in here. I live in Seattle. I own a home in Seattle. I've invested heavily in Seattle. And I feel like, hey, we can talk about the problems here and the big issues. And there are big issues, mind you. There are big issues in a lot of cities, but there are some specifically in Seattle that I care about because this is the place I live. But once other people from other places start talking about, it's like, wait a minute, you need to make sure that you know exactly what you're talking about. This idea, because a few things can be true. We can have some big, big, big issues, but to call it a hellscape, I mean, there are some blocks that are a hellscape for sure. But if, again, if you look statistically at the overall health of the city, it's not bad.
Can we all get together and just have a conversation about this, like in a real way? Because I'll tell you what breaks my heart are the people in this city that get paid. They get paid really good money to say the same things every single day, telling you and everybody else how terrible it is in Seattle. But here's what I find interesting, that these people that get paid really well to tell everybody how terrible it is, they live here, they work here, they have never, they personally never have a problem. There's some people that go out there and go after these people and mess with them. Sure. If you've been downtown Seattle, is there a possibility that you've seen someone shooting up?
Pike,
yes,
pine.
Yes,
yeah,
you probably have. You probably have seen some problems. What is the likelihood that those people that you see doing that are going to come mess with you personally? So people make this idea that Seattle is such a hellhole, but for some reason we don't have a mass exodus. And the only reason why we do have people leaving Seattle is because of affordability issues. Nobody's leaving Seattle because they saw.
Okay, I agree with you for the most part, but there are some people. I just don't like to say nobody's leaving because I have heard of some people who truly feel like, you know what, they've bought into, I am not safe here. Or maybe something has happened to them and they don't feel safe here. And
Where are they safer at? And if they leave
smaller
Seattle,
town.
Where would be a safer town? Because if you want to talk about where I live in Tacoma, you have Tacoma. You have all of these different areas. Where is it safe to go? I want to know somewhere where you're like, hey, G, you come here. No crime happens here.
That there's no place that exists like that.
That's what I wanted
to hear
you say.
No. I mean, that's just it. And I guess overall, it's just we need to keep things in perspective and understand that when people go hyperbolic, they're trying to basically put you in one camp or another. If you're rooting for Seattle to fail, or if you're rooting for this region to fail, why is that? Is it because you're just you're unhappy with the current politics today? Then vote.
What politics? Yeah. Oh, no.
Can I address the larger issue here that I see? In that this is not a story for me about crime in Seattle or about Fox News coverage of crime in Seattle. It is about the level of acceptable rhetoric that is apparently okay to level at Democrats and Democrat-led cities these days. Calling Seattle a liberal hellhole or a hellscape is absolutely on par for normal. Fox News and a lot of right-wing networks have dedicated reporting teams in liberal cities around the nation. The opposite is not true. We never go to rural Alabama and point out people living in poverty and then gloat about, ha ha, those idiots got what they voted for. But this is like a daily thing in conservative media to talk about people that are on the opposite side of the political spectrum from them as subhuman individuals who are hell-bent on destroying American families and our entire way of life. And I hear it every damn day, and I am sick of it. I am sick of it. I'm tired of people who say that we denigrate middle America and rural America and hardworking Americans and all the real Americans in the, quote, fake news liberal media. You know what happens, actually? We have the New York Times and the Washington Post and every single other outlet in the nation go out to rural America on legit listening tours to talk to people who live in those areas and say, hey, what are your concerns? What are you going through? What's important to you? And what are the problems you see in our nation? There is no flip side to that in conservative media in the aggressive way that they dehumanize anyone who is just slightly to the left of the political spectrum mm-hmm. is socialist and Marxist. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I hear you, Chef, but I'm going to say that if you go on MSNBC or if you go to
intro a segment by saying, look at this rural hellhole.
Maybe not in those exact terms, but I think
we're
we
in the heartland of fascist America.
No, you won't. But I will say this. The point of all of this is to try to avoid making those sweep. You know, I'm an anti-sweeping statement person because that's where we get into these false narratives. But that's not to say that there isn't crime. Someone might look at me as an ultra-liberal. I'm sick of crime. I live in Seattle. I'm sick of crime.
I'm sick of crime, too.
I don't want criminals to be let off easy. I voted against legalizing drugs. I mm-hmm. don't believe in legalizing additional drugs, et cetera. It's like we can't just keep putting people in these little buckets.
Yes, that's my point.
Yes. And so when you hear something like this where people are interviewing Fox, it's like, well, who's trolling whom? What were you going to say, G?
I don't know. I just got so many things to say, but I'll just go back to my original point, Ursula. In this city, in general, the political talking points that continue, the political talking points that make people money. And I'm always interested because sometimes people are so focused on the politics that they forget about some of their interests and what would make them better. So when we talk about the things that are plaguing America and plaguing people that are struggling and living paycheck to paycheck, right, we get away from those things when the political aspect of it, we're talking about, oh, my gosh, those people are on drugs. You need to be scared. You need to be scared. No, no. You know what people need to be? They need to be able to pay for child care. They need to be able to have health insurance. They need to be able to make a livable wage. But instead, we have people that make tons of money to fearmonger. We have people that get paid tons of. Now, does crime happen? Yes.
Too much.
Yes, it happens a lot. It is increasing, no doubt about it. But if we are hyper-focused on thinking that, man, you need to be careful, Ursula, because as soon as you walk out of your house, there's a really good chance that you're going to get knocked over the head. And Ursula, I've been working with you for almost 4 years, and you live and work in Seattle. You've been safe the entire time. Most people are safe. But the fearmonger, and that's what the part that hurts my heart, is how much money is it invested into that narrative?
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear. And again, it's not to say that this doesn't happen, but we have to put it into perspective. And if you are unhappy with the politics today, vote. We've got an election coming up. Vote. If you are tired of not seeing a two-party system or seeing any Republicans in office, again, Republican Party, put candidates in there that people can vote for, that have reason to vote for, that can maybe bridge some of that divide. You know, is Dave Reichert that person as he runs for governor? Maybe.
Well, if everybody's mad about Governor Jay Inslee being the governor, next time can you not put Lauren Culp there? Huh? Can you actually put a real candidate on the ticket? Now, you guys are going to text in, oh, I like Lauren Culp. For what? What does Lauren Culp stand for that's actually going to be good for America in this state of Washington? If there is, I'm sorry, I'll wait. Anything?
I don't know. Well, text us. Okay. Okay. We've got just a couple minutes left. Okay, when we're talking about people who have a lot of money, a quick question for all of you. Yeah. Okay, there are some people in this region who have so much money, they don't really know what to do with it. Maybe the case in point for that one is the people behind that private fireworks show about 2 weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was seen and heard far and wide, and people were like, who was responsible for that one?
Yeah.
Well, the Seattle Times has been trying to unravel the mystery behind it all, and this is what the newspaper has dug up so far. So this yearly event, or I think it's pretty much every year. It goes back all the way to 1998. Mm-hmm. And the person behind it, or the people behind it, have gone to great lengths to keep their identities hidden. But according to the Times, and looking through public records, there are hints that point to one of Microsoft's first employees, who at one point the newspaper described as the world's foremost unknown billionaire. Again, who may be behind these fireworks. Some neighbors and at least one Bainbridge Island city council member is not happy that this is being done anonymously. Council member Joe Dietz says, quote, when people are doing something that affects others, it should be known. You should own up to this instead of hiding. Do you agree or disagree?
About the fireworks?
And letting people know, first of all, who's behind it and giving them more of a heads up that it's coming.
No. I'm not agreeing with that, because for the most part, the other day when the Seahawks won, did you guys know that sometimes in rural areas of the Seattle area that when the Seahawks win, some folks go out and shoot their guns? Did you guys know that? Does anybody?
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody's going to text in and listen to that, and they'll be like, yeah, gee, I shoot my guns up there. I'm bringing it up. Who do you ask for permission? When has America been a place where you ask for permission to pop fireworks? I'll wait. It doesn't happen. So even though they might be annoying, but Ursula, if you and Long Live Mark were sitting at the crib and somebody was popping some fireworks,
you would come out
and you and Long Live Mark would be like, ooh wee, that was nice. You ain't gonna be mad.
Wait, if you're gonna do something though that bothers so many people, and I get it, you know what? I would love the fireworks.
Okay.
My dog might not.
See?
But I think it would be beautiful if I knew to prepare for it. So all of a sudden, people were calling like, "What on earth is that?" Give everyone a heads up. This is coming, so everyone can enjoy it, and those who don't enjoy it can take precautions, like
Ursula,
hiding Fido somewhere or whatever.
Ursula, one thing about you that no matter what, you're gonna keep it a buck. So I'm gonna ask you.
Yes.
You've been in the Seattle area a long time.
Yeah.
Been working here 30-something years.
In the city.
No doubt.
In the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many times have you got a heads up about some fireworks coming? Tell the truth now.
Other than 4th of July, 4th of Julyvers and all that?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
So you want the heads up now? What do you want the heads up to say?
That big.
Dear Ursula.
This fireworks show was heard like for miles. Miles and miles. Yes. Help us get prepared.
What do you want it to say?
Robin Montesano says, they follow protocol. Leave them alone. Okay, maybe it's just me. Bah humbug.
Boy, some of y'all fired up about that Inslee conversation and Lauren Culp. You know, hey, get a better candidate. Hey, coming up next, Mike Salk is going to join us to talk about those Mariners. Gene Ursula.
You are listening to the G and Ursula show, and if you hear a bit of fatigue in my voice, it's because I stayed up really late. I was over there at T-Mobile Park, and
wow.
Boy, was that a game. Mike Salk from Seattle
You stayed
Sports
up late. 7-10. Wow.
Yeah.
Were you up at 4:30 this morning?
Yes, as a matter
there
of fact.
There you go. Nice job by you. Very impressive. I like it.
You got your Mariner shirt on today? Yes, I have my Mariner
Very
shirt.
Nice.
Do you know that it was our G and Ursula show listeners who turned the Mariners' fortunes around? Because
of course
it started off a little slow.
It did.
And then I put out a call to all of our listeners and said, please, whatever it is that you do, pray to the gods, or you know, your lucky charms, whatever it is, do whatever it is that'll help the Mariners bats come alive. And sure
and
enough,
they did. The Lucky Charm cereal must have been what got it done. They did. They needed that win last night. They're in must win territory. They needed to win last night. They need to win tonight. You don't like to use must win before you have to. These were must wins. They needed to win last night. They need to win today, or it's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
So
and if they win today,
it's that big a deal.
Do they also have to win like the rest?
If they win today, all they need to do is split the last two games against Texas. But you got to beat Houston. You got to win this series. You've got to win today. You need Bryce Miller, one of their two rookie pitchers, to show up big. They've got to win today.
How do you like their chances?
I'm done talking about the Mariners' chances, man. I don't have any idea. Every time I think this team's going to do one thing, they do something else.
You have no idea?
I have
you're Mike Salk.
But I have no idea. Nobody knows what's going to happen next.
So why do you choose to not have an idea now?
No, I never know what's going to happen next.
I've never known of you ever to not want to have an idea about
something.
You know
what, man? I got lots of ideas about how they play, why they play. I have no idea what's going to happen next in sports. I don't bet on sports. I don't play fantasy sports. I don't do anything that is in the prediction world of sports because I don't have a clue. And this team might be the most confounding ever. You know who described
that?
The Mariners best?
Who?
Mark Twain. Mark okay. Twain thought he was talking about New England weather, but he might have been talking about the Mariners when he said, if you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. Because whatever the Mariners are, give them 5 minutes and they will turn into something else. They're not hitting? Give them 5 minutes. They'll drop six on the Ranger, on the Astros like yesterday. They're not pitching? Give them a minute because George Kirby will show up and shove the way he did last night go six scoreless. You think they're looking great? Don't worry. They'll show up and get swept in Texas. They are confounding.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how frustrating do the Mariners get you?
10. No, I shouldn't say 10. Like when my younger daughter was a toddler, that was a 10. That was straight up, I don't know what to do with this entity in my house, this tyrant that is ruining my household. She's great now.
Good.
But as a toddler, oh my gosh.
I love your kids.
They are great.
Awesome.
But this Mariner team's like a 9. Like every time I think I've got a beat on who they are and what they are, they turn tail and do something totally different.
Okay. Then I got to ask you, who's to blame for that?
I don't know that anyone's to blame. I mean, I think they just, that's kind of who they are. What they are is a great pitching team. Aaron Goldsmith was on the station yesterday and called them a great run-preventing team. Mm. And that's what they are. They play good defense. They have excellent pitching. And when they went to Texas last week and got swept, they didn't pitch well. And when they don't pitch well, if that's your strength, you're probably not going to win with one arm tied behind your back. They're an okay hitting team, better than people think. They're a number 11 hitting team, I think, in the league. But their strength is their pitching. And if that shows up, they'll probably win. And if it doesn't, then they probably won't.
What kind of season has today's pitcher, and what's his name again?
That's just, Bryce Miller. He's a rookie. He's been phenomenal. He's been great against Houston. He's been great at home. So a lot of reasons for hope, but you know, you just don't know what's going to happen until you show up and watch it happen. That's why sports is great, because we don't know what's going
to
happen.
The other thing that needs to happen is Julio didn't have a great game yesterday.
No.
So he needs to have a really good game today.
Oh, is that how it works? Yes, that would be great.
Yeah, he's getting paid a lot.
You know what? Julio hasn't had a great game for the last week or so. He's kind of cooled off a little bit here in the final 2 weeks of the season. And you are right. They do need Julio. He is the best player on the team. He is the guy that drives everything. And when Julio is great, they are great. He's been okay. And they could really use some great Julio here for the final five games.
So it's a must-win game. So what's your plan tonight? How are you watching the game?
How am I? What's going on with you? You seem depressed over there. You okay? What's going on?
Why? Because I'm not going.
What's going on with you?
I wasted my energy talking last segment.
About what?
All kinds of stuff. You really want to
hear? Yeah, I want to know. What's going on with you? You don't seem like yourself right now.
What's going on?
No, you don't. What's going on?
We were talking about crime last segment.
Oh, that got you.
Yeah, that got me.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of crime.
Well, that's fair.
All right. So how are you watching the game tonight, bro?
You know, prison. It's a crime thing. No, I'll be at home.
Wow. Equate your home with prison.
Sometimes. No, my home is great. No. I'm just kidding. I'll be at home with the kids and I'm dog sitting, so I got a dog at my house, which is always, you know, makes me happy. I got more of my producer's dog at home.
Okay, if they don't pull it off tonight, how are you feeling about the season?
Well, it's over.
Oh, I know that.
I'm feeling like it's over.
That I know.
Well, it'll be a huge disappointment.
And are you thinking, okay, so we need to make what kind of changes if we don't pull it? Why? I mean, we were having a great run.
Yes.
We did a great job last year.
Right.
We were expected to do better this year.
Right.
Like, what went wrong?
Baseball. It's super frustrating. I don't have a great answer for you, but sometimes baseball goes wrong. It is, of all the sports, the hardest to predict.
And why you probably love it the most.
It is.
One last thing.
Last thing.
I was at that game last night when that foul ball goes.
How about that?
Could you believe that?
Kid threw it back out on the field. It hit George Kirby right in the stomach. It's bizarre. He's taking shrapnel from his own crowd.
I know. And then we watch and the crowd really turned on that young man.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And for his safety, I think they escorted him.
I don't think it was the safety. You can't throw stuff on the field.
Okay, like, well, there you go.
See you later. You know what? He's going to be one of these crime statistics that has G so upset now. That's where does that rank in terms of major crimes in Seattle?
I don't know. I don't make a lot of money telling everyone how bad crime is in Seattle.
Oh.
So that's what puts me in the bad
mood. That a thing?
Yeah.
Is that a cottage industry?
Oh, my goodness. It's very lucrative.
Well, some people.
Any of those people live in Seattle? I live in Seattle.
I'd better stop me now.
Are you ready to move?
Move out of Seattle? Are you nuts? I love my place. I love living in Seattle.
It's a hellscape.
No. I really like I mean, I find that there are a lot of people that do, but they don't seem to ever come here. I really like Seattle. I love living here.
I do, too, and I think that's
I don't think that's a political statement. I literally just like living in my house.
It frustrates a lot of people, and we're accused of trying to sugarcoat. Crime is an issue. I don't think we can emphasize that enough. Crime is an issue. We just try to offer some additional perspective.
How dare you?
No.
What's the matter with you?
Thank you, Mike.
What's the matter with you?
Beer looks good, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a groomer for it. No, I'm sorry, a trimmer for it. I don't want to dig into more political conversation. We got to go. Goodbye. See you, everybody.
Coming up next in scenarios, I'm head over heels in love with the man who has a daughter that's older than me. We do that next. Just generously. Scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
I just turned 23 months ago, and I've been on a few dates here and there. But I've been seeing one guy for the past few weeks, and I'm really into him. Like, really, really into him. The only issue is his age. He's older, and not just a little older. He's 53 years old. Yeah, you heard that right. Old enough to be my dad, and a dad that's older than the other kids have, too. I'll have to introduce him to my parents eventually, and I'm dreading it. My dad is 48 and my mom is 46. He's older than both of them, and they do not approve. And then there's this. This guy has three daughters. They're 16, 20, and 31, all girls. I would be a stepmom to another girl that's my age and one that's 11 years older than me. I've met all three. At first, everything seemed cool, but lately, they've made a few jokes, comments about me and their dad. And it's bugging me. And even one even said that I was doing it to get inheritance money. This guy is ready to take our relationship to the next level, and I'm not quite sure what that means, but it will involve a deeper connection, and I will have to introduce him to my parents at least. This is starting to bug me. What should I do? 888-973-5476 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up the bat first.
Okay, I'm going to say something that might upset some people, but if this were my daughter, I don't have daughters, but if this were my daughter, I would counsel against continuing or getting too much deeper into that relationship. Or at least I would counsel to go very, very slowly. You're 20 years old. He's 50-something. I just know that I would have an issue, mostly because 20. Now, when she's 30 and he's 60, I have less, you know what I mean? It's just like right now, 20, you're barely an adult.
So you don't like it?
I don't like it. I'm just being honest.
Well,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm being honest because I know there are going to be people like, oh, hey, you know, that worked out for me or that. To me, I think she's way too young.
I'll just keep it simple before you go, Chef. You can't put a number on love, whether it's money or age. And so if he, 53, is treating her right, he loves her and she loves him, go for it. Sometimes, I mean, do you want the 20-year-old to be with the 53-year-old that loves her, or you want the 20-year-old to be with a 23-year-old that treats you like crap?
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, let me make a quick correction because people are going to freak out. So when she's in her 30s, he would be in his 60s.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That would be a little more reasonable. I just feel like she's way too young.
You can't actually put a number on it, G, because if she was 17, it would be illegal. But because she's 3 years older, it's not. I'm sorry. I have a daughter. if she's age 20, 2 years out of high school, and she brings home a dude that's 51, you've got to be freaking kidding me.
Exactly.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry, because you at age 20 might think that you're ready for the relationship with the 50-year-old, but what kind of, like, regressive degenerate of, like, poor mental capacity is actually at the same level as a 20-year-old? I don't care how mature you are at 20. You're not mature enough to be with a 53-year-old, and the 53-year-old is really only in that for one thing.
And I'll also say one other thing. Sorry, Gia, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I will say the other thing. You're just also asking for a ton of trouble. You are already having these feelings going into it, and already the older offspring of this guy that you're dating, the kids are already kind of looking at you with side eye and suspicion. You're just walking into a whole bunch of things that you might not be ready for at the age of 20.
Yeah. I want to be clear. Me, personally, I couldn't do it. I couldn't date anyone in their 20s, but that's just me, right? Would it make this story better if she was 25? Would it make this story better if she was 29? What if she were 30 and this guy is 53? Does that make people feel, oh, well, that's at least a little bit more comfortable?
Yes.
Look, to
actually.
To each their own, right, when it comes to this. I just think that there are legitimately situations where a 53-year-old could possibly love a 20-year-old, and the 20-year-old could love the 53-year-old.
It's possible, yeah, but if you have a 51-year-old friend, G, and he brings around a 20-year-old girl, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
You're thinking he's a cradle snatcher. That's what you're thinking, probably.
You're thinking it's a sugar daddy relationship, period.
Well, what if he brings around a 30-year-old? I could say the
There's
same thing.
There's a big damn difference between 20 and 30.
Difference.
What's the difference?
Maturity?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we should just change the age to adult. All I'm saying is you guys' opinions on this topic and all of ours are subjective.
Of course.
And most of the time, there are subjective on other situations. And, like, I just think that I would be wrong to judge someone that way. Now, again, I wouldn't do it. I don't think I could ever date someone in their 20s. I have nothing in common with anyone in their 20s. They don't even know what a cassette tape is. They don't know. They don't know none of them things. They don't know what it's like to have three TV channels. There's nothing I can relate to. However, I don't shame anyone that is that old dating someone that young.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine this guy's mindset. But I will say for this case, this woman is still very young, even though she's rightfully at the point where she can make her own decisions. She can date who she wants, regardless of age or money. I'm not saying you won't be avoiding any more jokes from the family about this relationship, because it is pretty unordinary. But I guess in her eyes, and as well as his, that age is just a number, and there's no limit to the gap in decades.
Never too much.
Just a warning, if you're going to go down the long-term road, you might be wanting some summer wine while he wants a fresh glass of prune juice. Might be two different kinds of lifestyles down the road.
Now, again, 53 and 20, large age gap there, Ursula. But I would say that whether it's 20 or 25, some people get to the point where they're like, you know what? I'm tired of dating this. I'm going to try that.
I understand. I would just caution when you're looking at that young of a person, someone who is just barely into adulthood, dealing with someone who is considerably older. Again, I would give it a lot of time and a lot of thought.
You know what?
If it's my daughter, I'd be like, oh, heck no.
You know what I'd be judging sometimes? Well, what I used to judge is the folks in the mail order brides. I used to judge that all the time. I really did. But
a lot of people do, and a lot of people still do.
Yes. All right. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it will be time for Agree to Disagree and time for the final word on today's top story. This is Gia Nershlin.